The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson, Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott. It's your call for the best college football coverage from National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Bud Elliott. I'm Chip Patterson, coming to you live at youtube.com/cover3 and everywhere you get your podcast on demand. Thanks for hanging out. Smash that subscribe, smash that like, and come and join us in the chat, aka the Cover 3 tailgate. And you see those sirens in your feed, you know exactly what that means. And look, Ryan in the tailgate, I get it. I had to hastily put together this headline. I did not include Bill O'Brien in the headline. So yes, this is technically sirens for both Chip Kelly and Bill O'Brien. But yes, Chip Kelly is going to be the second piece of this, is actually the first piece of this. So, Bud, as we now are getting the news, and it is currently 2:34 p.m. Eastern time on Friday afternoon, the reports are coming from Bruce Feldman. They are from Pete Thamel. We are just at expected. So I at least want to say this, but as you and I have often had to do in these, sirens in your feed moments, we are going to operate and have the rest of this discussion with the assumption that nothing's going to fall apart and that Chip Kelly is going to be the Bill O'Brien replacement in Columbus, which brings Chip Kelly back with Ryan Day, his old quarterback from New Hampshire. But also, and the other piece of this is very important too, is a sitting Big Ten head coach leaving his post to go be an offensive coordinator for a conference foe. So let's start about the Chip Kelly to Ohio State side of this. How do you think that this is an upgrade? You went from Bill O'Brien to Chip Kelly.
I do. Maybe not an enormous upgrade. There's a lot of people in the industry who have the coaching industry who have a lot of respect for what Bill O'Brien's done. They like Bill O'Brien's passing concepts and his work with quarterbacks. You know, he did a good job at Penn State. I think overall, a pretty damn good job coaching the Texans. Now, GM-wise, probably not. So, and with Alabama, Bryce Young was the number one pick, so he didn't screw that up, at least. But I think you could argue that it could be a bit of a coaching upgrade from the aspect that Ohio State might want to be kind of featuring a little more quarterback mobility in its offense now, and certainly Chip knows quite – Chip Kelly.
I know. It's
Chip Patterson knows a heck of a lot, too, about quarterback mobility. But, I think you could argue that it's an upgrade. It's really interesting. Like, you got a pretty quirky guy who literally is just all – like, just wants to coach ball, doesn't want to do, the personnel and the management side of it, and he's made a ton of money in his career, and now he gets to go just basically coordinate. I mean, like, I'm not saying he won't have to recruit at UCLA or at Ohio State, but there are certain things he would do at UCLA he doesn't have to do now.
Oh, well, okay, yes. Let's go ahead and go there then. I think this is Chip Kelly restarting the clock. So what did we know about Chip Kelly? We knew that the way the season ended, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was like Bill Plaschke and the other prominent voices in Los Angeles were like, guys, this is done. And then we were met with all this information about the specifics of the Chip Kelly buyout, why a move wouldn't be made potentially at a certain time. And what happens after that? He loses his star quarterback recruit to Oregon. And he also loses his star defensive coordinator to USC. UCLA was going to be heading into a season in 2024 where Chip Kelly was under real job pressure. And yeah. I do not see the tools for the kind of season that relieves that job pressure with UCLA's current roster. So Chip Kelly, whether it was going to be the Seahawks offensive coordinator, whether it was going to be the Raiders offensive coordinator, the Commanders offensive coordinator, you know, any of those, I was going to say restart the clock type motivations. But in Ohio State, it's just more notable because it's like, okay, you're staying not only in college, but at what we perceive to be the same level there in the Super Two. I'm glad you mentioned Chip Kelly. Let's think about him just as an offensive coordinator. He had at Oregon, like just to take it all the way back to his sort of DNA, since that'll be a lot of the story, versatile rushing attacks, right? Yeah. And use a couple different backs, use them different ways, keep a defense on their heels with that versatility because they never know exactly where it's coming from. And in doing that, you were able to, with Oregon, give your offensive line a chance to have a step, be a step ahead of the defense. And when I look at everything for Ohio State's personnel in 2024, my only question mark, and it's not a big one, but if I'm nitpicking, it is the offensive line. So we have a deep and talented running back room, which is like, yeah. you know, you already bringing Travion Henderson back. You got Quinshon Judkins back and you have Emeka Buka back. You've got the super talented, whether it's Brandon Ennis, Carnell Tate, you know, pick your poison right there. You got a quarterback with a little bit of move to him. So now we are able to take the one thing that I actually had a question mark about, and again, not a big one, offensive line. If you're able to build an offense around this versatile rushing attack, something that Chip Kelly has done before, I like that a lot. If I'm an Ohio State fan, I might say upgrade, but it's not because I'm down on Bill O'Brien. I just can imagine what that's going to look like with this 24 Buckeyes team.
Totally agree. Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense for Ohio State if a guy like Chip Kelly is available. And I mean, what luck for Ohio State, right? We lose Bill O'Brien, and they just happen to have Chip Kelly. Cool. Like that's a stroke of luck for Ohio State. It really does suck for the folks in the building at UCLA, though, right? Like Chip Kelly's got a ton of money, but those folks who moved their families out there to go coach there or to go work in administration, like that sucks, man.
Yes.
This late in the cycle, a lot of jobs are filled.
So finding a future for UCLA is definitely a big part of this. What do you want? You want to go ahead and take it there? I mean, because with the limited time that we have here, I do want to also hit on Bill O'Brien to Boston College. We talked about it a lot through the week, just because it seemed like it was headed in that direction. But I want to make sure we give it a mention since we are going live here with the sirens in their feed. So what does UCLA do now?
So I think we need to separate like what the UCLA job is in terms of what would an average effort, enthusiasm level coach, what would he complain about UCLA versus like what Chip Kelly would complain about, right? So like I think Chip Kelly left because he doesn't like the transfer portal, okay? He doesn't like having to deal, clearly he thinks athletes should be compensated. He said so, but he doesn't like, I think, having to, you know, shake down donors for donations to NIL and to go out there and politic and campaign. That's a lot of work. Right, I don't think Chip Kelly wants to deal with all that stuff. You kind of have to do that at every job as a head coach. So I don't know, you know, how many complaints that Chip Kelly had are going to be carryover complaints, right, from other guys if they take that job. But I also know like Chip Kelly clashed with the administration a ton. Is that all Chip Kelly, or does that also say something about UCLA's administration, right? Who knows? As far as replacements, I have not seen a hot board for this yet. I haven't even had a chance to text any agents, be like, okay, who are you guys trying to place in this? Like who's getting feelers out for this? I mean, does Jed Fish feel,
No,
but I'm saying like, does he feel, I don't want to say dumb, but regretful. Like, would you rather have UCLA or Washington?
Washington, unquestionably.
Unquestionably.
Yeah. I think I've bought in, okay. There is a community in Seattle of Washington grads of means who will buy season tickets, will go to games when the team is running hot. I think Washington's ceiling is higher than UCLA's ceiling. And I think that before he left. While Kalen DeBoer, we don't imagine him as this like great fundraiser. I think he did a lot to be able to at least get it rolling with the Big Ten move on the horizon. He didn't know Alabama was going to come calling. He thought that he was going to be there a good while longer. And so I do think the infrastructure for such things. I mean, I know that this isn't like your purview right now, but Mick Cronin, I believe to be one of the better college basketball coaches, just in terms of like, you know, X's and O's going out there, coaching them up, you know, getting your team ready to play. And he has been complaining all season as UCLA has stunk about how they don't have any money. They don't have any money to go get players. And if that's happening at men's basketball at a place like UCLA, then I think it's tough to be able to get that support. So if I'm Jed Fish, I would rather be at Washington.
I would rather be at Washington as well. I think instead of the word unquestionably, I would probably use, you know, arguably, right? I think you can make a case, but yeah, I certainly get that. Bruin Report Online, which does a tremendous job covering UCLA and is like the UCLA spot for a long time. Their hot board is up.
Nice.
I think they knew this was coming. Tom Herman, David Shaw, which I've actually heard some people saying for a couple days now, which would be very interesting. I just don't know if I really believe that. Matt Campbell, Tony White, the D coordinator at Nebraska, which would make a lot of sense, you know? So, I think he's pretty damn good football coach. Justin Wilcox at Cal, who does a really good job if you understand the limitations of Cal. But it's not a sexy track record if you don't consider the limitations of Cal. Brian Hartline, PJ Fleck, Barry Odom, D'Anton Lynn, who was the DC and is now the DC at USC. Jason Candle, and Jason Candle's on like every single list for all time, I guess. That's a pretty good list of candidates for a job. Right? UCLA is not a top 20 job, but it's a top 35 job.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I do agree that that's a good list, especially if you're trying to think about the future. When I was talking about being down on the roster, the, you know, where that program was after a couple of underachieving seasons, those last couple of years, or at least this year, definitely fell short of my expectations with the way they finished the season. If D'Anton Lynn comes and takes the job, then you kind of move forward without having too much friction, right? Just because the defense was the best part of that team last year, he's able to take over. And even if it takes you a couple years and a couple cycles to be able to, you know, get that roster talent-wise back into a position where you might have a real shot at it, at least he's, even though he wasn't there long, at least he's been there. And that would be something that doesn't cause too much disruption, except to your rival, who would now have to go, you know, I guess promote one of their other superstar defensive staff additions.
Completely agree. Also, like who you hire, everybody needs NIL to a certain extent to get players, but I think it's important to match up the type of coach you have with your recruiting resources. If you really don't have any money, then you need to probably get another guy who's like, okay, good charisma to recruit, but understands like we're probably not going to win some of these superstar battles if we really don't have anything. Like you can win superstar battles without being the highest bidder, as long as you're somewhat in the ballpark. You know, if you're getting blown away, that's not going to happen. But a guy that does a good job with scheme, you know, can recruit Southern California, those are important factors, I think, for me. Their schedule is pretty tough, I believe, to start the year. I mean, that's 2024. All right, that's men's basketball schedule. Hey, found football. All right, here we go. At Hawaii, host Indiana. At LSU, Oregon. At Penn State, Minnesota, at Rutgers, off week, at Nebraska, host Iowa, at Washington, host USC, host Fresno.
It's not bad.
You don't get Michigan and you don't get Ohio State.
Yeah.
Which is notable. But, I mean, LSU, Penn State, Oregon.
Penn State and Oregon were the ones that jumped out at me. You could, I mean.
Also, you're asking, at Rutgers is not a gimme. You need to play decently well for a cross-country trip to feel good about that. Like, you'll probably be favored.
Right.
But Rutgers brings a lot back. So, I've just been kind of diving into some stuff. That's not going to be a game where you're favored by, like, 14. There are not a lot of gimmies on the schedule, I guess is my point. So, you know, we'll see what happens there, man. It's transfer portal-wise, their kids are eligible. Good luck getting into school right now, unless you find a place that's on the quarter system. There's a couple guys on the roster I think some schools would be interested in, but it wouldn't surprise me to see if they don't jump until the spring.
Gotcha. All right. Coming up on the other side, more about UCLA's future moving forward. Ohio State gets Chip Kelly. And yes, the reason why Chip Kelly is leaving his job as a head coach at UCLA to go be an offensive coordinator at Ohio State. Well, that's because Bill O'Brien left after being hired to now be the next head coach at Boston College. We'll get into the Eagles hire as well. Next.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Back here on the Cover 3 podcast, you see those sirens in your feed. You know what that means. It is... And I should have said it at the beginning. I'm so sorry to you, to everyone that I did this. I'm really sorry. You know, this is everyone continues to remind me that when I declared the coaching carousel over with Sherrone Moore's promotion, I set in motion what I guess is just going to be a never ending carousel. Just between now, it'll bleed right into the 2024 season. We've had two Power 5 openings since then. Jeff Hafley leaves his job at Boston College to go be the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. And now Chip Kelly leaves his post as head coach of UCLA to go be the offensive coordinator, a coordinator for a pro team as well. Just the pro team that's in Columbus. $13 million. All right, so who on UCLA's roster should we be looking at, as now there is a 30-day window where they could transfer without penalty? However, as you just mentioned, based on the academics of all this, it might be more of a flurry of activity around the Bruins in the spring window. Without a doubt, something that their next hire is going to have to work really, really hard on over the next couple of months to be able to lock that roster down.
I mean, I don't hate Garbers, honestly, right? Like that's – he played fairly well for them in the bowl game. Sturdivant, I think, is a guy who still has eligibility and still has some ability. Now, their quarterback situation was pretty lacking this year. I believe they lose a couple of the offensive linemen, but they're still decent dudes. Jay Toya on the defensive line is a guy that I think, you know, schools would be interested in. Those are some names that I think that schools would probably circle, you know, but more for the spring period, I would think, most likely, unless you can get them in, which would be interesting.
That'd be a tough transition for the person. I mean, sometimes when we're doing this like offseason personnel stuff, and like I'm glad you highlighted, for example, UCLA's like staff, the assistant coaches who are there, who are getting ready for spring practice, the support staff that's been grinding on roster construction. Like, their lives are turned upside down right now. They're hoping they still have a job. You know, like it's a really, really difficult time for them. It's also difficult for the players. Like now all of a sudden I've got to decide whether I'm going to up and leave. You know, I might already be going with classes right now. I might have already had all these things set in motion. So you know, as much as we do acknowledge the transactional nature of this, especially in the modern era, I'm glad we're able to highlight the human part of that as well. I would not expect a ton of activity until after spring practice. Or do you think players are going to sit out spring practice knowing that they're about to transfer?
I don't know. I guess they could. I haven't really thought about that, but
I literally just thought about it while I was talking, which is why it's a hard turn.
You probably want to play, but I don't know. UCLA just put out a release on his departure, and the announced today that he is departing UCLA after six seasons. They thank Chip for his time. And then they said, it's imperative we support our student athletes and put them in the best positions to succeed, said Martin Jarman, the AD at UCLA. UCLA is a special place, and we are confident we will find a leader for our football program who develops young men on and off the field and embodies our true Bruin values. Wasn't Jarman the AD at BC?
Yep.
Okay.
And I think Jeff Hafley might have been an assistant for Chip Kelly in the NFL.
Yeah. Are there any obvious connections that he has to people?
Came from Ohio State.
And Michigan State before that.
Yeah.
So D'Antonio, he would have been at Michigan State when Narduzzi was the DC for at least part of the time, right? 03 to 09.
Would you leave Pitt for UCLA right now?
Would I leave Pitt for UCLA? Yes, because I think it's a restart the clock move. I mean, I'm going to see Narduzzi in about 2 hours and 10 minutes. That's why we had kind of a tight timeline to get this thing, because he's at the Nike clinic down here in Orlando. But I don't think he's in any real danger. But if you just had a bad season, and he did.
But it was like his first bad season in a run of like 5 or 6 years.
Football fans are fickle, man. And like we talk about, ADs, even if you don't really think you can do better, and I don't think that Pitt can do better than what Pat Narduzzi has done at Pitt. You're only one bad season away from, you know, so you restart the clock. But I don't know, like, how L.A. does Pat Narduzzi feel to you?
Not
particularly L.A.
No, not at all. That's
anybody who was at Ohio State. I mean, Vrabel, but that UCLA feels way too small for him to take, unless I'm missing something there.
The more that we're sitting here, and again, we are just literally talking.
The Tom Herman one makes a lot of sense because of this.
Tom Herman,
it's the Urban Meyer tree, right? Jarman would have been there when Urban got hired. He also did he hire Narduzzi at Boston, did he hire Adazio at Boston College, or did he just fire him?
I would expect that he inherited, because I didn't think his time there was that extensive.
2017 was the first one. Okay. I'm just trying to remember the timeline here, because obviously Adazio is off the Urban tree.
Hey, you know how this is how broken my brain is. I know that Steve Adazio was at Boston College before that because of Vine. And I was like, when was Vine?
Oh, right.
Dudes. Yeah.
Vine.
Guys being dudes.
I don't know. That's do you see Dion being considered? The chat is saying some Dion. I don't think so.
No, I don't. I wouldn't do that.
Dion brings his own NIL, though.
I would
get NIL problems.
I mean, I would just like there's a
call him and see what he wants to do. I mean,
oh yeah, sure. Again, I'm just stuck here on Danton Lynn. It's just like, how do you preserve continuity? How do you preserve the roster? How do you knife USC in the back a little bit too? You know, like there's.
You want to preserve continuity if you were unhappy with the product. Like, do we need continuity of a product with which we were unhappy?
But it wasn't the defense. The defense was awesome.
Yeah, that's fair.
And like, there were guys on that defense that were not superstar prospects or guys that had like flashed a lot early in their career. There were a lot of like 3-4 year guys that were starting to play at an all conference, not an all American, but like at an all conference kind of level. So
would you be unhappy with David Shaw?
No, I would expect that you're going to fire him in 4 years, but I think that's a stability move just so that you've got an adult, right? We're not that Chip Kelly wasn't, but it's like, this is a awful situation in terms of trying to get a program organized and ready to go. and he was around the team in the building. Isn't his son on the team or something like that?
So, yeah, there. I mean, I've heard a lot of David Shaw talk from people that I'm not sure would know, but the fact that they were coming to me with the name before any kind of hot boards were out there suggests that maybe there has been some rumor of this. I'm unsure what to think about David Shaw. So if you look at his track record, 11-2, 12-2, 11-3, 8-5, 12-2, 10-3, 9-5, 9-4. That's a really good track record up until the year that the early signing period came on, which was 2018.
But that's a Stanford thing. I can't just
correct. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like I don't really fault David Shaw entirely for the downfall of Stanford. Okay. Stanford was very slow to adjust administratively to the advent of the early signing period. They were often not offering kids admission until like in January, which was after their signing period. They, I believe, don't allow early enrollees. So that also turns a lot of good players off, especially good academic players who are like, I'm done with my classes for high school. I graduated semester early so I can go join spring practice. Now, the like outright refusal to make changes on the coaching staff, I think probably is his fault. And a lot of guys go through this. You see it. So that's not, that is a David Shaw problem, but it is not a problem that is solely a David Shaw problem, right?
Yeah, I also get to a place where
Jimbo, I was like, get Jimbo the heck out of Tallahassee because none of these other guys on his staff are going to get good jobs. And in fact, none of them coached D1 the next year that he didn't take. Like all the guys he left, which was like six guys. I'm just going back. So it's not just David Shaw that keeps guys well past their prime or refuses to make a move because you're friends with them. But man, David Shaw doesn't get me fired up. I don't know. I'd be interested to see what he can do.
Well, one of my biases is just trying to predict where this ends as much as it is trying to like give advice or think that I know the best. And somebody in the tailgate just said it. And I definitely agree. David Shaw is the type of candidate that like the UC Board of Regents is going to love, you know, like, or like anybody who is, they're going to love the, you know, leaning into the student athlete experience. You know, UCLA is,
there is some of that there. Like you have to go to class.
Yeah, there's an athletic department there that still cares about winning national championships in everything and bragging about competing for national championships in everything. It's not just the football and the club sports. I mean, they really like hold them all up. And so I could see that David Shaw's background at Stanford would make him, he would know how to move about those rooms and know how to make everybody at the athletic department, you know, push those right buttons, maybe in a way that Chip Kelly wasn't.
Ryan, one of our super commenters in the chat, suggested Tommy Rees. And I don't hate that either, honestly. If you want to go coordinator and you don't want to go Len, because he has been at a school, we got to come up with a term that's better than academic school because all schools are technically academic. But you know, he was with the Irish, so he has dealt with guys who like do go to class. And there is,
well, that's I feel like you say that sometimes, and that's like your tagline. It's like
no, that's an academic school. Yeah, I'm trying in my head to come up with a new term because every school is an academic school in some way, but some more than others, I guess.
I would say what do we call that? That's more of attendance suggested school, you know? Like, yeah. All right. Any other sort of final thoughts on this? Again, UCLA,
Boston College getting BOB.
Yeah, I want to take us there. So Bill O'Brien off to Boston College. We'll get into that and more next.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's TAILORBRANDS taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Boston College introduces Bill O'Brien as its next head coach. That's what set all of this in motion. Your thoughts now that the move is final?
You know, I don't hate it. I thought of the candidates that I saw suggested, it made a lot of sense. I am not real convinced that you can do a better job than Jeff Hafley did at Boston College, but I'm not convinced. I think it's possible. Maybe you're like a win better, I guess, but you need to be realistic. I'm pulling up their football season list here because I found it pretty instructive when I looked at this earlier.
Oh, the list of Boston College football season. I mean, your peak is eight flash for a nine. I mean,
so in 2007, 2008, you had Miami was coached by Randy Shannon, so that was a disaster. Okay, you had Jimbo's first season as a coordinator, so you're just coming off the Jeff Bowden stuff.
Clemson
was a mess. What was North Carolina in 07?
07 is year one of Butch or year two of good recruiting class, but the team on the field wasn't there yet.
So that's basically their peak, right? They're in the league, and I was running an FSU blog back in 06, and I remember thinking these Boston College fans talk a lot of smack. Their results here are much more correlated to what the teams that should be winning the league, if they're operating at peak efficiency, are not doing than what Boston College is doing. Yes, those BC teams were good. You had Matt Ryan, okay, who's probably or definitely a Hall of Famer in the NFL, I think. You had Mark Helfrich and Luke Kuechly and some guys, not all on the same team necessarily. But they went 9-3, 10-3, 11-3, 9-5 in their first 4 years in the ACC. And then the rest of the ACC kind of woke up. Mm-hmm. And since then, their high watermark is
8.
And in conference, 5 wins.
Yeah, 5-3.
They've done it twice. Hafley did it once, and also the Frank Spaziani when he inherited the Tom O'Brien team. So for the most part, Boston College should expect to have a losing record in conference, and 4-4 in conference, in my opinion, should be considered a really good record. They almost won 7 in 20, but they had a COVID game canceled on them. And that was a team, I thought that was going to be a pretty good team. And they had to follow real COVID rules where some schools didn't. So I don't know. To me, we cut that video. It's my pinned tweet on my Twitter, BudElliott3. Sometimes you fire a guy, not because you think you can truly do better, but because you know the fans won't keep buying tickets if you keep bumping up against your ceiling. You have to lie to them. You got to tell them there's a reason for hope that we can be a lot better. Do I think Boston College can be a lot better than making bowls? No, I don't. Not in this current configuration of the league, but you could tell me that the Hafley product was kind of stale, and I'd buy that.
Boston
native. That's depressing, but I don't know.
No. I think that Bill O'Brien is.
What's the case that they could be they contend for the league?
I just don't think that that's an important conversation around Boston College. Boston College isn't on Bud Elliott's group of 18.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing is, you've got a group of 18, and on that group of 18, they are spread out across 3 conferences.
Yep.
Right? So if you're not on that list of 18, why are we even talking about you right. Okay, you're going to be winning the conference. But do I believe that Bill O'Brien is a really good hire who can keep that team competitive? Because that's what you really want more than anything in a place like Boston College is competitiveness. I want to know the gap between our team and almost everybody on our schedule is going to be close enough that you're like, if we get these breaks, if this, that, or the other, we've got a shot. And I do believe that Bill O'Brien
shot at
winning a game. That's what I'm saying. Like, you're doing like full season expectations. I think that you want to have a head coach, because Boston College's floor is like a 2-10 season where you only win your non-conference games and you don't win a single game in conference play.
They do a good job of not scheduling dumb stuff in the non-con. As a school, BC has done a better job than some of the other teams in the league of they don't do the paycheck stuff nearly as much. So next year, Duquesne at Missouri, Michigan State, West Kentucky. That's a bad example, actually. That's probably
That was the reason why Jeff Hafley got out of town, right? Because you went from not playing a power conference opponent when you did UConn, Army, Northern Illinois, Holy Cross in 2023 to trading out two of those for, let's just say, UConn and Army, trading them out for Michigan State and Missouri.
They have exciting games that are exciting relative to their talent level coming up. So at Cincinnati, Rutgers, Maine. Like, Cincinnati and Rutgers are two games that if you're a Boston College fan, you're kind of fired up to go see, because those are like reasonable similes to what your program is, right? Fordham, UMass at Michigan State, and then contractually you have the Notre Dame game because of the ACC. It's probably not worth reading a lot of this, because I don't know how many of these games are going to be around in 3 or 4 years.
I know. When they announced that every ACC championship the rest of the way was going to be in the state of North Carolina, I was like, oh man, is that really cynical?
Yeah, I'm like,
No. Hey, real talk, my opinion on this is not my knowledge, this is my opinion. That's more tied to the relocation of the office. And that, like, in the relocation of the office, I think that there was a little bit of a, I don't know whether it was in pit writing or not, but it's like, hey, we're going to relocate anywhere. And there's some like financial incentive for that. And it's like, okay, we'll put championships here. So
if I'm BC, I want to go. I think my goal as the AD to evaluate is 500 or better against Cal, Stanford, Wake, Duke, Cuse. Help me out here. Am I missing somebody? Yeah. UVA and Pitt.
Yeah. I mean, I just say, even though Pitt is running hotter, that is your peer. You want to be right there.
You want to be similar to Pitt. I think Pitt's a better program than Boston College, but it's not by a ton.
I think they cast a wider net from just sort of like the university itself.
Yes. So, all right, that's seven teams. Can you be in the second from bottom quartile in the ACC?
Yeah, I think Bill O'Brien can get there. And I think that Bill O'Brien, the great advantage, and I think I said this maybe earlier in the week, is he's not going to show up and be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh no. You know, he's going to know exactly what they can do, the gap between them and the very top. And he's not going to immediately be overwhelmed with trying to accomplish that. So
Rox Hunter says, I have no idea what I'm talking about with BC. All right. Let me know. Why should BC be materially better than that? What's BC's NIL budget? You know, like,
don't be upset.
No, I'm not. But I'm like, are we missing this? Because there are only two of us. If we had four, then if there's four, we all agree. Typically, no. But I'm confused as to why people think like Boston College is better than that. They're a take the check, take the losses program.
My take on that is it does come back to A, there are programs that we are not talking about competing for championships right off the bat. Yeah. And then number two is like, okay, so what are you playing for? And that's where I've settled on competitiveness. That it cannot be an embarrassing, uncompetitive product on Saturdays, whether that's on television, whether that's in the stadium. Like, that should not be acceptable. And so if you can deliver on that competitiveness, if you can win about as much as you lose against teams that are your peers, and beat the teams that you should beat, which is also sometimes just as important, just as difficult for some of these coaches at these programs, then yeah, it's a good hire.
I mean, you look at this, they did get blown out a couple times in the last year, right? So they lost. I mean, they were very competitive against FSU. They only lost by two. Louisville beat. Now, they did get crushed by Louisville. They lost by 29. They lost. The Hokies beat them by 26. I mean, they're competitive with Pitt. Miami beat them by 25. I don't. is it reasonable to think you're going to go the season without a couple blowout losses? I don't think so.
I mean,
most games being competitive, right? We talked about this. Was it UConn contract or the Rutgers contract? Like, having incentives in there where, hey, if games are competitive into the third quarter, so people are staying in the seats, they're still buying concessions, they feel like they got their money's worth. It's nothing's worse than like a BC alum who they don't all live in BC flying in for a game. They're like, well, damn it, man. Like, it's cool. I got to go back. We're down 3 touchdowns at half. That sucks. So I don't know. Maybe I'm too cynical on this.
One last thing before we get out of here, because I know you got to go try to catch up with Pat Narduzzi and, you know, stick a phone in his face and say, hey, Pat, are you a candidate for UCLA?
Oh my gosh. I will.
Don't. I don't know if he would like that. What? Like, he would just look at me.
Like, really? Okay.
Yeah. So I was thinking about the Chip Kelly side of this, because one of the questions from the tailgate earlier was, how long do you see Chip Kelly at Ohio State? Chip Kelly is very smart and probably knows his path to the NFL, a path that he pursued this offseason, interviewing for offensive coordinator jobs. His path to the NFL is easier as Ohio State's offensive coordinator than it is as UCLA's head coach in 2024.
Really? Yeah.
I think he clearly wants to get back to the NFL. I think he has a better chance of doing it as the, you know, whatever happens with these Monstars. Oh, that's the other thing. This adds to the rock star quality of the 2024 Ohio State Buckeyes.
No doubt. I think Ryan Day is a really, really bright mind.
But like, it's just Chip Kelly and all these NIL driven portal additions and all of that just sort of rock star world tour juggernaut quality in the wake of Michigan winning the national championship. It's awesome. It's a great season for narratives in the Big Ten.
The other thing I wanted to point out, so Justin Fry, who is Ohio State's offensive line coach, was Chip's O-line coach from, like, basically, I think when he was hired to last year was his second year, so like 18 to 21.
Okay.
So there's another commonality there. Like, Chip is going to be familiar with the offensive line stuff going on at Ohio State in terms of scheme, how they teach, the verbiage won't be a new thing to learn. It might be a new thing for Chip to learn what Ryan Day is doing. Kind of doubt it. But you at least have somebody else on staff who you coach with for multiple years and coach very closely with, who can pretty quickly translate it for you. So that's kind of solid, you know? I like it.
MH5 in the Cover 3 tailgate says, so is it national championship or bust for Ohio State? And my answer is, isn't it always?
Yes, I think so. It's definitely win a playoff game or bust. How about that?
Like 2020, and that's the thing, is you can't even count 2020 as a successful year. They only played like 4 regular season games.
Yeah.
You didn't even get to ride the full train of beating Western Kentucky 63-10, you know, or whatever ends up coming along the way. So yeah, I would say it almost always is national championship or bust for Ohio State. And the urgency, powered in part by these losses to Michigan and Michigan winning the title, have Ryan Day and this program absolutely loading up. Yeah. And that includes former NFL head coach as offensive coordinator. He leaves, replace him with another former NFL head coach. It just so happens he's the sitting head coach at one of your new conference foes. So UCLA search begins. Ohio State, even a bigger headline as we head into 2024.
One thing I am seeing on some message board stuff here. Do we think Martin Jarman erred in not firing Chip after the season? Because now you're in a more difficult spot in some ways.
Yes.
But also you protect your roster if you wait this long, because guys don't have spots to go for the most part.
That's true. I think you
and the new guy gets like 18 weeks to talk to him. Assuming you can run a search. Like, are there candidates out there who you would have gotten who took lesser jobs than you because you waited?
I think there are potentially coaches in the Big 12 and the ACC who would have thought in December about taking a UCLA job with the idea that you're leading them into the Big Ten, this, that, or the other. You're seeing the, you know, this is before we ever knew about the STAB, the Super 2 Advisory Board, but like this is, coaches know. I mean, they see the direction that these things are going. And I think that there are coaches who have already gotten their plans together for spring. And at this point, they're like, you know,
yeah,
they're not gonna treat it the same as if they had gotten the same call 2 months earlier.
I think that's fair.
I mean, what if you'd fired them in mid-November when they were calling for it, you know?
Right.
We'll see. Anyway, we'll keep you up to date with all the latest. We appreciate you hanging out. And you can follow him on Twitter at BudElliott3. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Bud, thank you very much.
See you, bud.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob? Well,
all right. Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year. You dig? Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.